Talking today with Mary Kay Thatcher, lobbyist for, of course, American Farm Bureau. Mary Kay, let's talk a little bit about the last few days. It's been quite a whirlwind as we've digested a rather significant Democratic victory, it seems like, for the Senate and for the White House anyway. Republicans holding their own in the U.S. House. It seems like status quo is what we've kind of ended up with.
I think it's exactly like that movie Groundhog Day. You know, next Wednesday when the House and the Senate comes back, it's going to be very much like it was a couple of months ago when they went home. You're right. The Democrats picked up a few in the Senate, probably 10 in the House, but the presidency stayed in its control, the Senate, the House. So I think we're going to, unfortunately, probably have the same kind of gridlock going forward for the next couple of years we've had the last couple.
Now, you know, there's been some people arguing that because it is status quo, that that really might mean that there's no reason for them not to do the work that they've got to get done in the lame duck.
Well, I think that you can definitely say that because it is status quo, there is the best chance of getting something in a lame duck you could have. If, for example, the Senate had flipped to Republican and so you had a Republican House and Senate, you could see them saying, well, if we wait till next year when we're in charge of both houses, we'll get a better deal. That didn't happen. So, indeed, the chances are better. But I hope I'm too cynical, but I just think that the lame duck is likely to be as lame as it usually is. You don't get a lot done in lame duck Congresses.
And I know, obviously, we've got a lot of focus on 2012 Farm Bill. Folks in the agricultural community do, but that's one of the more – almost a minor item.
Well, unfortunately, there are probably 40 bills that Majority Leader Reid's office put out the other day that they would really like to deal with in the lame duck. Farm Bill is one of them. And certainly we think it's very important. But think about the importance of the expiring tax provisions, the estate taxes, the capital gains, the depreciation. The numbers I show say that if we don't do something about those, 98% of Americans are going to be paying more taxes on January 1st. So obviously a very big ticket item. You look at sequestration and the fact that we've got to do something there by January or we're going to get hit with $109 billion in cuts next year. You look at the Medicare doctor fix where they're going to pay those doctors 27% less come January 1st for their Medicare patients. So there's a whole host of issues that affect a lot more people probably than does the Farm Bill. So we're really pushing uphill to get it done.
When it comes to the dynamics of the Farm Bill itself, you know, as we left in September or in the August time frame, September time frame, Senate Majority or House Majority Leader Mr. Cantor simply said we're not going to do anything, and de facto is what he was saying by not scheduling it. It seems like there was a fear that that might somehow show the division within the Republicans over nutrition cuts. How do you get past that, or do you get past that?
Well, I think there was a lot of looking at the vote that would occur on food stamps. The Senate bill cuts $4 billion out of food stamps, the House $16. Keep in mind, that's out of a pot of money of $772 billion. So pretty insignificant amount. And, you know, you would think we could work out a difference between those two pretty quickly. But in general, you've got most Democrats who think zero cuts in food stamps is the right answer. Again, in general, you have many Republicans who think you should cut way more than $16 billion, and it just tends to be a big stumbling block. I think a bigger stumbling block before the election than it is now. I think a lot of that's probably been removed since we won't have another election for a couple of years. And now we're faced more with the problem of there's 16 days between now and when they intend to adjourn in December 21st. And there's just some really high priority items that are likely to take precedent over it, as well as, you know, what really happens in a lame duck session is people argue about, I want to be on this committee, I want to be the chairman of this committee, I want to be the ranking member. Of course, if one ranking member moves, it sets up a domino effect on other things. So a lot of time for leadership is burned up just trying to get the right people on the right committees, the right chairman, the right ranking member. It makes it very difficult to get much legislative work done.
You mentioned the domino situation. We were talking earlier that might be a little change on the Senate Agriculture Committee.
Well, the Republicans imposed a six-year term limit on themselves 15 years ago or so. And Senator Thad Cochran, who is now ranking member of the Appropriations Committee, has met that six-year term limit. So if he wants to move on somewhere and be a ranking member elsewhere, one of the options, obviously, would be agriculture. He serves on the Agriculture Committee. Mississippi is a big ag state. And so there's some speculation that he might try to take that back from Senator Roberts from Kansas.
Let's go back and talk a little bit about some of the dynamics of, you know, if we don't do a 5-year farm bill. We've talked before about the need for an extension, but you've got Colin Peterson, ranking minority member of the House Agriculture Committee, saying he will not support any extension of any kind, of any length, of any amount. He wants the 5-year bill only.
I think he does want the 5-year bill very badly, maybe no worse than does Chairman Lucas. They'd very much like to get it done. But I think you're going to find everybody in agriculture, the nutrition community, the conservation community, everybody would prefer to get this done now. It will be easier. There's more money now to do the bill than there will be next year. But I think at some point between now and December 21st, if we can't get it done, we're going to have to default to an extension because too many negative things happen come January 1st.
Let's talk about January 1st. Let's say, you know, we don't conclude our business. Maybe we do get the extension, but we do not have a 5-year bill. Everything resets. It's the Groundhog Day effect because we do have the same players in a lot of cases, but we do have a new Congress technically. That means that you have to kind of start over with your legislative process. Where do they actually pick up when it comes to the farm bill process in the House and the Senate?
Well, you're right. They'd have to reintroduce new legislation and start over. So you would assume that both the Senate and the House Ag Committee would put in legislation that was similar to what was passed in July, although depending on where we are in budgeting times, it could be they have to cut back on some of the provisions because lack of money. You would assume that we wouldn't have very many hearings because we have had a lot of discussion about this. So they could move to markup fairly quickly. But certainly it will take a little bit of time. You look at the House, for example, we're going to have probably at least 80 new members in the House of Representatives. So they're going to want a little bit of time to figure out where are we on this farm bill, especially if they're from a rural area or an area of the country where they have a lot of food stamp recipients, et cetera. And that's going to be, again, one of the scary things, especially in the House. So we're looking at, come January 1st, almost 40% of the House having less than 3 years' experience. So it's going to be another couple of years of a lot of education of new members and new staffers.
We heard Congressman Lucas talk about that education process last year, and you got to kind of do some of that again this year.
It'll happen again. You're right. Now, I don't think that somewhere over half of the House Ag Committee was new last year. I doubt that that will be the case this year. There's going to be some new members, but it'd be fairly unlikely to have that much. But again, yeah, it's going to take a lot of time. As you well know, you know, you get these new members of Congress, especially in the urban areas, and the way they know about agriculture most is from the local farmers market. So we got a lot of work to do to explain to them what production agriculture is really all about.
Any discussion? I know that obviously you tried to help in the education process of the last set of freshman lawmakers. Does Farm Bureau, you know, got some ideas about what you're going to try to do with these new members as well?
Well, I think we have to educate them about a lot of things, not only the farm bill, but certainly about some of the tax provisions. Immigration may be a thing that, you know, given all the discussion that's occurred since the election about the Latino population, 70% of it going for President Obama, I think the Republican Party is going to feel more strongly about having to do something with immigration. That's getting to be a bigger and bigger issue for us. As you know, certain parts of the country, we had to leave a lot of production in the ground just because we couldn't get the labor to actually harvest that. So immigration is one of those issues that is not simple. It's like the farm bill. And it's, you know, you kind of push it one place and it pops out at you another. So that'll take a while to get members of Congress to understand about labor needs in agriculture, too.
What do you, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the ramifications of the president winning reelection. What do you see in 2013, 2014 from the Obama administration? What are you going to be watching more closely maybe than anything else?
EPA. I think that whether Lisa Jackson stays on as administrator or not, a lot of the regs that we had concerns about, be it clean water, navigable waters, et cetera, were somewhat put on hold before the election. You know, they weren't playing well, so the campaign said just – let's do a little bit of a pause button. I strongly suspect that that pause button comes off and that we're looking at some fairly big regulations. That's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort to try to get those regs stopped.
Obamacare. What does that mean for rural folks? Does it have really a lot of ramifications or big changes, you think?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly this election tells us Obamacare is not going away. And so, therefore, in the next year, we've got a lot of things to figure out how to implement. I think with agriculture having more and more employees, that yes, for a lot of farmers, you're going to be impacted by this. You're going to have to figure out how you provide this health care or whether you can afford to pay the fines, et cetera. But that's going to be a learning curve for farmers in general.
When it comes to just attitude as we go forward, what, you know, I know that you've talked to a lot of folks during this overall election season, all the way back to when we were working on farm bills in the Senate and in the House through this point. As we go into a lot of these uncharted waters, how do you think, you know, how do you think this is all going to play out from an agricultural point of view?
Well, I'm worried about the election that just occurred. Certainly, as you said, the Democrats improved their margin in the Senate and the House, but that's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is a lot of the moderate Republicans and Democrats will no longer be serving. If my memory serves me right, 4 years ago, the Blue Dog Democrats, the moderate Democrats that had a lot of agriculture represented there, probably numbered about 50. Right now, they number 24. After January, 15. So what's happening is that party is getting much more either liberal Democrats or very conservative Republicans. In the Senate, you see the same. You see people like Olympia Snowe from Maine, who was very moderate, middle of the road, Ben Nelson from Nebraska, et cetera. And they're replaced by people like Elizabeth Warren, who's pretty, pretty left-leaning liberal. So unfortunately, we're getting more partisan, more polarized. It's going to be even more difficult, if it can get more difficult, to be able to legislate and have some successes. It looks to me like in many, many respects, they follow the old adage of I hate Congress, but I like my congressman. And largely the people who wanted to be reelected were. But for those that weren't, either they gave up and said, I've kind of had enough, like Olympia Snowe, or they may have been defeated. But it seems we're getting fewer and fewer Republicans and Democrats, moderate, in the middle kind of guys that can indeed breach both sides and bring some people together.
Statesmen.
Absolutely.